Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for another cracking stage of the Giro. This has been the best start to the Giro that we've covered in quite a while. Really, every stage has had excitement, drama, bad news, good news, unexpected things, attacks. Just another fantastic stage, as well as some controversy with Tadej Pogačar.
Some serious one.
Which we'll lead with. I just saw this is after the race. This is from Stephen Ferrand on Cycling News. The headline caught my attention. Jury, e.g. the UCI jury, threatens Tadej Pogačar with Giro d'Italia disqualification?
What the fuck?
Over two-tone Maglia Rosa skin suit with the pink top and the purple shorts.
That is insane to me. Firstly, I think this was an organizer skin suit, right?
Yeah, it is. Castelli is the Giro's apparel sponsor and provides the jerseys. Pisse is the UAE kit. It's not UAE's kit. So it's not like Pogačar had a choice to even put this on. And so apparently the commissaires said that there was, yeah, they can't use a two-tone skin suit. It has to be an all-pink skin suit. Now, RCS Sport, according to Ferrand, tried to explain to the UCI commissaires that their rules allow that, and also that the two-tone skin suit, the bottom was an homage to the 75th anniversary of the Superga air disaster, which is Superga, you might know, is the climb that was in the Turin opening stage where they started, where there was a plane disaster. So, and that's obviously, that color is sort of, if you know the Turin Football Club, part of their colors. Like, how can you threaten disqualification, Benji, over some shorts?
This is crazy to me. I saw this title and I lost it. Like, this is crazy. Like, if he does something that threatens the security of the peloton, if he crashes someone, stuff like that, disqualification conversation, yes, regardless of who it is, regardless of what it is, the Maglia Rosa, that's a conversation. But it's like they're the fashion police. Yes, I didn't like the two-tone color, but I don't want this guy to get disqualified over it.
But why does it matter? Like, it's not their race. It's RCS race. It's their, RCS owns the race. It's their, they can choose the colors of their jerseys and stuff.
Why would it not be allowed?
Because it's the same color as the Maglia Ciclamino.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean,
this is batshit crazy to me. Threatening Pogačar to be disqualified over the color of his bib shorts.
But that's the thing. It's like, Pogačar, he wanted to wear a skin suit, and this is the only skin suit they had.
Yeah.
And so today you saw him in the pink top black shorts, which admittedly does look a bit better, but because he was threatened with disqualification. But that's not as fast. On a sprint stage, if you want to attack at 45 kilometers an hour, they want to wear a skin suit, and this is the one he's provided with. So why are you threatening to disqualify the rider provided with it by the organizer? He has no choice, instead of maybe, at worst, fining the organizer,
exactly.
Even though that would be ridiculous.
It is not Pogačar's decision to get that specific skin suit from the organizer. It's the one made by the sponsors, by the organizer. So Castelli, the sponsor of RCS Sport. So if someone gets penalized here, it would have to be the organizers. But it's such a stupid rule that there's a lot of worse shit that goes on when it comes to organizers that doesn't get penalized. When it comes to parkour safety, and we're talking about bib short fashion police, sorry, but get out of here.
I mean, I did hear, them, like, EF have to change their kit for the Giro because they can't wear the pink jerseys because it clashes with the Maglia Rosa. Visma Lisabike can't wear the yellow jerseys in the Tour because it clashes with the yellow jersey, the Maillot Jaune. But yeah, if you have to ask my opinion, obviously, this is horrendous what Pogačar did. And I say disqualify him for Jonas Vingegaard's back on the bike today outside. maybe a Tour de France disqualification. If he's going to pull this stunt here, we got to set the tone and really get him out.
We're not having that.
I mean, just ridiculous. Like, but again, Pagacha said, I don't know how much I can say, and I agree with him. I don't know how much you can say. Like, it's just only in cycling. Like, I mean, how, Benji, before we get to the actual stage, wouldn't you rather have had this force the teams to not all wear a navy jersey? Like, I would rather in the off season, where's the rules and application of stopping all the teams wearing the same colored jersey? And now we can't pick them out. FDJ, Quickstep, and all the others, and Alpecin. Anyway, sort of funny, but I don't actually. It wouldn't have been funny. Imagine you're Pagacha, right? You got all you got the pressure, stages, attacking, tired, press, and then there's nothing worse in life than when you get like a nasty email in your inbox you weren't expecting, and it's like some bullshit. And this is sort of, he must have had that feeling. He's like, what? Like what? And you just stress for no reason.
But that does explain why he does show up at the start of today's stage without a skin suit, regular black bibs from UAE, and the Maglia Rosa, which looks, sorry, but that looks absolute class. But that is the reason why. Otherwise, he might have once again, because it's a similar stage, he might have once again chosen the skin suit over the other one, because aerodynamically, it's on paper faster.
Yeah, it was, because maybe that's why he didn't win today's stage. Anyway, today's stage from Acqui Terme to Andorra with 1 hour, 190 kilometers long, false flat uphill for 80Ks, and then a category 3 climb, the Colle del Mologno, before a descent down to the coast towards the French border through L'Aguaglia and the Ligure region. A couple of rollers, a lot of towns, some parked cars before the Capo Mele. 1800 meters, 4.4%, and then a descent, basically a straight line on the big road, descent finish essentially. The descent really stops like 700 meters, and they're carrying huge speed into the straight finish. So really high speed sprint expected. Also, as Benji said, this climb differed to yesterday in that it was really straight. There's no technicality, no narrowness. It's a highway, this climb. And we had brake action, Benji.
Yeah, we did have brake action. And when it comes to the breakaway, it was interesting because we had a breakaway that included Filippo Ganna for Ineos, Calmejan, De Bod, and Munoz. Now, seeing that breakaway, I got to be honest, immediate thoughts are this is most likely not going to make it to the finish line, a small breakaway, controllable. Before the stage, I didn't really believe in the breakaway because there's just so many sprinter teams here that went to this stage knowing that they could potentially win the stage. You had a bit more belief in that, but Ineos quickly realized that this probably wasn't going to do it, so they pulled Ganna back, which I think is a very good decision, because if we think back to Tour de France 2022, Wout van Aert in the yellow jersey in the Longwy stage, that man rolled in the breakaway for the entire fucking day before they realized.
If you go in the dictionary, you type in and you look up sunk cost fallacy, you'll see there's a photo of Wout van Aert in the full yellow jersey on that stage, dropping Quinn Simmons off the wheel. Who was in there with? Was Fuglsang in there with you? Yes. And Fuglsang was like, "Nah, fuck this, brother." He's like, "It's not going anywhere." And I agree. Ineos, like, I don't mind it. You know, you try with Ganna, and who knows? Like, what if a couple? Again, we saw how deep this break gets. Caught at 4.8 k's to go. Eventually, with two guys. And what if another two strong rulers jump with you? He's not here, but like Abrahamsson, who was in Tirreno, who nearly won. Or, you know, maybe you got seven rulers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're really talking. The problem is for Ganna, Jaco haven't given up on Ewan yet.
Yeah.
So Demarchi won't jump. Intermarché got Bini.
Well, they did go in the break with Calmejan for the K1 points.
Ah, fair enough. Then he dropped back.
Yes, because he then took the jersey.
Yeah. Bora still going for Van Poppel. So you don't have these other teams, strong teams. There's so many teams going for a sprinter, 12.
Yeah.
So
there's so many you can't think of a single one.
Going for a sprinter.
Yeah. Melier Quickstep is definitely going to ride.
Yeah, Melier, Trek, Quickstep, Visma, all going to ride. Yeah. And so, yeah, but he drops back and waits for Le Peloton. And then I didn't watch the IS, Benji. I was in the mountains. There was a bear sighting in Andorra this morning. Crazy stuff. So like in La Cortinada, which is 2 k's away from where I live, I'm talking, there's a video of a man with, and
a man or a bear?
Well, I presume a man on the side of the road, like the main road, and he's filming. And in the field, there's a huge European brown bear. I think they're Slovenian bears. I'm being serious, not a bit. No, that's not a bit. They reintroduced the bears from Slovenia here.
So there's a realistic chance that I go out for a ride tomorrow morning and I get hauled by a bear.
Well, yeah, that's the recovery. That's like the main recovery ride is from here to El Serrat, goes through La Cortinada if you go early enough. And he's like, Es un os. Maybe it wasn't Catalan, he's saying in Spanish. Oso. Crazy stuff, but I tried to see him, but I only saw some deer. But IS Benji, what happened?
Well, Intermediate Sprint 1, Groves wins ahead of Merlier and Binyam. So Binyam taking some points, but Groves once again really hunting those Intermediate Sprint points. Then we get towards the climb, the Colle delle Melogno. We've got Trotnik starting to pace in the peloton. And I'm thinking, okay, Visma Liseberg, they're trying to make this a harder stage in the hopes that this will eventually lead to the purer sprinters, like probably not to drop Jakobsen, because after yesterday, they might not really try to hurt him. But Merlier, I think, is the one they're trying to hurt with these actions. Jakobsen is the one dropping. Eventually, Merlier drops as well, but just before the top to get away, Juanpe in the group. And I was shocked to see Juanpe drop on this climb in the middle of a sprint stage, because this guy is here for GC.
Yeah, like really, really strange. It's a 7K 4% climb being paced by Tratnik at like a sprinter pace, you know? So, but Fabio's shape is not, his fitness is simply not good enough, like, to be dropping on that badly. Like, Merlier is where you should be.
Yeah.
Like, Merlier is a pure sprinter, can't climb, but he's dropping still way later, you know?
They got him back, though?
They got him back, but, I mean, yeah. Even Luke's out, and if Luke's out on Fabio, then, like, the alarm bells.
I'm not sure how much he was out on Jakobsen today either, because when he got nominated for the competitivity, he decided to try and vote for it, but then realized he had to fill in all his private information. I was like, I'm not that much into Jakobsen either.
You don't trust RCS with your data, Luke? No? Yeah, right.
But credits to the Narwhal. He was the one that brought Jakobsen back. Has Lehmreiser here, and then he got dropped himself by Jakobsen in the descent, which I'm pretty sure Narwhal is a really good descender.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he got dropped. Maybe it's just that he was empty, which is very possible. It was one of those pedaling descents, you know?
Yeah.
But about that descent, we've got intermediate sprints in it again. We see Coy beating Binyam, beating Groves, but and then there's another sprint, a bonus second sprint, which gets called by the breakaway riders. But in that descent, there's a crash. There's a crash with the majority of the team of Tudor on the left side of the road.
Yeah,
we've
Trentin.
Got Ineos involved with Foss and another rider.
Yeah.
We've got O'Connor laying on the floor. At first, I was pretty scared when it comes to O'Connor. He gets up, he continues riding. Shot goes away for a little, comes back. We see Binyam standing there looking pretty wounded. Looks like he couldn't really put the pressure on his foot at the first.
He's right here. It was like Torsten Train.
Yeah, and eventually he gets back on the bike after, it seemed like he was nodding no quite a while, but he gets back on the bike because he was capable of doing that seemingly. They gave him the bike, gets back on the bike, he's running again. We go back to the race, 5 minutes pass, and we see Binyam crash again. What are your thoughts?
I feel really bad for him, but yeah, he was pushing. I mean, it's lucky. I don't know what happened. It was clearly his right hip that was sore. They put an ice pack in there from the first crash. Luckily, he crashes on his left hip.
Yeah.
And it was one of those slide crashes. And I really think he's still in this race, Benji, if he doesn't crash the second time.
Yep.
I think he's still in the race, but I think after the second crash. I mean, I think the doctors, he didn't even hit his head. It's not like he hit his head, right? It's more
not
like,
that we saw, at least.
Not in the second crash. It was like it's wet and he just slid. But yeah, mate, the doctors seem to be pretty adamant to get him out of there. And if you can't put weight on your right leg, it's like, and then Ike Vespeek we see getting out and talking to him, and then the helmet comes off, and yeah, he's out of the race. Really sad third yesterday. And now into Marchea left. He's their star rider on the whole roster, not just in this race, on the whole roster. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. Hopefully he can go to the tour.
Calmejean is salvaging something with these KOM points and these KOM jerseys. It's not golden, but it's something, because otherwise they'd have nothing.
Yeah, so real shame that Binny's out of the race. And also that, very, you know, technical, twisty descent. And you see the value of Tratnik. Like, Tratnik is, that's why he's so highly regarded as a domestique. I mean, when they had the 3 leaders last year in the Vuelta, and I remember that circuit stage, it was a tricky descent when they did a hard climb twice. And Tratnik was pacing the 3 leaders on the front. And he did that again today. Really, really good job from him. Group 2 returns with O'Connor. He seemed okay. And then basically it got in. The fighting started, Benji. The breakaway with Frankie Munez was ahead. And who else was with him?
Oh, God. Well, not Calmejean, but the
Debod,
other guy.
Debod.
Debod, Jesus Christ.
For him. And the fighting starts, and we've got these towns, some road furniture. They go over a bridge at one point. Everyone's come back GC-wise, including Juanpei. And the fight...
Martinez?
Yeah, and Martinez and the Maglia Azzurra that he's borrowing came back. But yeah, the fighting starts. No crashes from memory. There was a mechanical of Milano at one point, which was, I think, just took him out of the sprint completely, I think. So he's out. He has a mech. And everyone's using... They're like third last man or second last man at 15Ks to go. Athene, Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Mezgets or Valscheid.
Yeah.
Bora or even Dan Hola and Edward Turns. It's like everyone would rather be in position so they're not called out at 8Ks to go than have these guys left. Or maybe they think these guys aren't going to be there after the hill anyway, so use them now because it's not a conventional flat finish. I don't know. But
well, both sides are possible. And then I'm looking at GC riders. Can I see Thomas? Yes, he moved up with his team a bit later than yesterday to the left side of the road, one of the two sides of the road with three-ish riders around him. Sheffield was the one that was really positioning him today at that point, so they were keeping Ganna behind. And then when it comes to Pogacar, we saw the same exact thing we saw yesterday, which at first is in the middle of the pack with a team trying to move up. But after like 5 kilometers of doing that, he ends up being alone with a teammate in his wheel on the left side of the road, trying to move up solo, tries to move past the Trek train, tries to put himself in the little Trek train.
That was surprising, yeah.
Little Trek ain't going to let that happen. Jaco, who's fighting for the little Trek train, ain't going to let that happen. So it's... On one end, Pogacar is probably very comfortable doing this because he's been doing it for the last 2.5 years. But we've seen some near misses when it comes to crashes, like in Copenhagen in the Grand Depart, where he almost crashed with his hand against the barrier, stuff like that, where at some point this might come back to bite him. And I hope it doesn't for the sake of us, entertainment, and for the sake of him when it comes to his race. But
oh, it just takes one Sonny Colbrelli type operator, you know, like with Roglic.
Yep.
They're like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Bang. And then, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen. But yeah, the lead outs, especially with Trek, like Jayco want to put Ewan on that wheel.
Yeah.
That's they've been told, Mezgets, you're going to put Ewan on that wheel. And I don't care that he's in the pink jersey. They're going to put Poggy because he's not sprinting for this finish. But Ineos, they didn't take front control early like yesterday. Yeah. They waited. And then they came and did like the biggest full lead out on the left hand side. Before the cap into the Capo Mele.
And we got to keep in mind the Capo Mele on paper, a relatively straight road, 9 meter wide. But yesterday, you said on the podcast, Ineos should try something with Narvaez or Ganna at this point. I didn't really see the possibility to win it that way, but you did.
Yeah, I actually thought more Narvaez. In hindsight, that wouldn't have worked ever because of the way this the way these roads are. It's not like the twisty finish the other day or yesterday. Or on Saturday or yesterday, but this would needed a big ring, big boy, and that's exactly who they had. Maybe a little bit early, but I mean, if Ineos basically do a full lead out into the Capo Mele. It's a straight road.
Yep.
It's a straight road, and then Johnny or Narvaez or G, I think G, lets the wheel go of Ganna, and off he goes, full sprinting, and really, really impressive. And then once he's got a gap, it's not... Ganna's problem is getting the gap, but once he has that gap, it's like, who is going to bring this guy back? 4Ks to go. He goes so early. I mean, it's not hindsight, it's impossible, but because he goes so early on the climb, he's at such a disadvantage to like a full raging peloton behind him.
Exactly, and on the climb itself, you might not see that raging peloton as hard because you see attacks towards him. We initially saw Van Poppel, if I recall correctly, from Bora. Looked to be flying towards him, then halfway, Chaspetat stalls back to the peloton. Then we see an attack from a Bardiani rider. I still don't know who that was.
I'm going to guess Zanoncello.
Okay, you're going to guess Zanoncello. I'm going to guess...
Marcellusi.
Marcellusi, yes. Why not? So those are the two riders that attacked, apparently, in one person behind Ganna. He was actually pretty strong.
Could be Tonelli.
Tonelli, also possible. It was a Bardiani rider.
It was anyone except Pozzo. I recognize him, and I don't think he gets separation there.
And he was actually strong. He came relatively close, to be honest, towards Ganna, but it was Ganna coming over the top first. The gap was not that big anymore, and we saw little Trek really starting to take control going into the descent. And the more it continued into that descent, the more and more it became clear to me that it wasn't going to be for Ganna, but Well, I do like what I saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tactics-wise, like, perfect. Actually, going for a Gana, he's not going to win the sprint, is he?
Yeah. And especially because they didn't have him ride in the breakaway all day after getting in it.
Yeah, exactly. They tried both ways to win the stage with him. And it really was. Like, this guy, he was with Van der Poel, Pogacar, and Van Aert on the Poggio
yeah.
in 2023. He was with them on top. And he was good again this year. And so these really...
It was Fiorelli.
It was Fiorelli. Okay, fair enough. It makes sense because you need to be a sprinter. So
we forgot Pasqualon.
Oh, Pasqualon also looked like he was closing the gap. But you have these guys coming across and you're like, wow, but who's actually chasing the peloton behind? But yeah, Ganna's perfect on these roads. He's really, really been good in San Remo. It just didn't work out because basically, you see, once he's at 3-4 seconds, you're like, well, then a last man's going to lead out and then someone's going to sprint. And so 3 seconds isn't enough. He gets brought back 500 meters to go. Consoni's got Milan in the wheel going really, really early. You're thinking, ooh, is Milan going to have to jump incredibly early? Merlier's in no man's land. He has to jump really, really far. And then Laporte comes up, left-hand side, brings Coy up past Consoni, actually past or level with Milan. Milan sees him. Milan just starts jumping, tries to almost take the wheel. Coy fights him off for it. He starts, but it forces him to start his sprint as well to the right of Laporte. And immediately he just gets, immediately Milan's ahead of him. Like Milan is just puts Coy a bike length behind him immediately. Bauhaus is trying to squeeze up the barriers to the right hand side. Merlier is coming from far, but then he stalls. And then Groves actually comes from behind with really, really high speed. He must be quite aerodynamic, but no one can beat Jonathan Milan. He goes early. He ate so much wind behind Consoni. And if you saw, I don't trust it always, particularly on the climbs, but the I think there was the Velondata yesterday of Milan's sprint versus Merlier's sprint. And you could see it. I mean, you visibly eye test, you're like, Milan did a more impressive sprint yesterday. Impressive doesn't get you dubskis, but he did a more impressive sprint, and the numbers back that up.
I think it was about 1450 for 19 seconds with 1750 peak. How accurate can we, when can we see that?
I think, I believe it.
Okay.
I believe it. Milan's data is incredible. Like, his data is really like Kittel.
It's like Kittel, but the one thing he still needs to improve on is in some stages when it comes to positioning. But...
Oh, yeah. In
the track improves that for him.
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, for Coy, the situation of the sprint today, like, he can't beat Milan in that situation.
No.
A 70 kilometer an hour sprint where they have to sprint side by side.
Milan's just better.
The only way he wins is if Laporte puts Coy on Milan's wheel and then Milan jumps with 400 meters to go.
Yeah.
And then he still probably can win because he looks like Kittel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He's incredibly fast, and especially these high-speed sprints, he's so, so fast. The Italian track, you know who was the Italian team pursuit team? Consoni, Milan, Ganna. They're the people who animated this whole final, the three Italians.
Which is good.
Yeah, good for them for the Olympics.
That's
coming
another
up.
Another great stage. We've had four amazing stages in the Giro so far. I wonder how long we can keep this going because I'm all for it. I'm all for these kind of stages continuing.
I'll do top 10. Milan, Groves, Bauhaus, Coy, Melia, Ballerini, Gaviria, Zanoncello, Mikkels, Lonardi, Pithy, Ewan. Of those sprinters, Benji, what's your takeaway? Okay, Milan and Melia are the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
What about the others?
Well, Jakobsen's definitely not there, so he's of the back of the ship right now. Sung faster than the Titanic in this Giro. Ballerini being there, I find interesting. That's I think more positioning in the sprint than the actual speed that he can produce in that sprint. But it's nice to see him there. Well, consistency when it comes to, I don't know, Gaviria. I don't expect much more on a stage like this. I don't expect Gaviria to win a stage in this Giro personally. And that's partially because I don't see his team around him being able to position him in a very comfortable position, because there's other much better leadouts. But next to that, he needs that corner in the last 250 meters, and we haven't seen that recently. So that's where that comes in. When it comes to the rest, I don't know.
Top 10 for Polti with Lenardi's nice.
That's very good. But I am coming to the point where I'm starting to consider Milan as a potential on the same level as Merlier and Philipsen soon.
Yeah.
As in the same tier.
Yeah, I have them. They're in the same tier. Because, like, he's not even getting... Imagine Benji, he got Laporte's lead out today.
Yeah.
He wins by 4 bike lengths.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah. Imagine if he got Laporte's... Like, he's getting dropped off by Consonni both days. Yesterday got dropped off by Consonni, wrong side. I'm not saying Consonni's not doing a good job. He actually is. But he's doing his best. But he also is like 65, 70 kegs. Not like the big boys. And the way Milan can still win from that non-ideal position, maybe it was better to be at the front. I don't know. Also, I would note Mattis Mikkels with Binnie out, still top 10. Mm-hmm. He came ninth, the young Estonian. He's one to watch as well, 20 years old. He was also 10th in Roubaix, 9th in Chaldeprace, 14th in Kerner.
Mm-hmm.
Intermarché will go for him. Vernon, don't know what happened to him today. He was 7th yesterday. He was out of it. He crashed, did he? Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
How did Kian pass Rubio in GC by 1 second? Because I swear they were on the same time. Now,
stage positions. Yes, Kian. I said, yeah, to Brooks is very, very key that when coming in at the back of the peloton, you find that the smallest Movistar rider and, yeah, you sprint past him.
No, but on a serious note.
They're just yo-yoing stage positions, I think.
Chavez and O'Connor doing the same, but no real change when it comes to GC. Still Pogacar in lead with 46 seconds on Thomas, 47 on Martinez. And Martinez had a mechanical or a crash in the final few kilometers in that descent of the Capo Mele, but eventually came back, but it's 3 kilometer rule. So because he had that, they're not considering the time loss he had. He's considered in the first group, which is fine. I just hope that it wasn't the crash that hurt him.
He looked okay. He didn't even look. You know when riders crash and they're mad? You know he didn't. He's like, whatever.
He took a bonus second. That's why he moved. When they overtook Calmejon, apparently. I didn't realize that.
Oderbrooks took a bonus second.
Apparently?
Oh, yeah, you're right, because he's not on the same time. Goes to show how much I'm watching the middle of the race. points. Milan is now in the Maglia Ciclamino, which I think he'll take to Rome, Benji. I don't think anyone else is going to wear that for the rest of this race. I picked Coy in the preview, but really, like, Milan is...
Bar bad luck that we don't hope towards him. He's the favorite to do so. He was for me before the race, and...
He's joint fastest with Melier, and he's more likely to go for it and finish the race.
Yeah, and so. Like, with Coy, I have that opinion of he's a versatile sprinter, but for me, he's not in the first tier of sprinters
He doesn't have the speed of these guys. You saw it today.
Yeah, he's not a top 3 sprinter in the world.
No. It's Milan, Melier, Philipsen.
In what order?
We're not counting San Remo Roubaix. We're talking win me a Tour de France sprint, and I can construct a like conventional leader. I can have Laporte second, then Van Poppel.
Yeah,
Milan. If I can have the best leader, Milan. Because if you have
current teams, if you can't construct a leader,
I think Merlier wins will win more from his lead out right now than Milan.
But I think Philipsen wins more important races than Merlier.
But I'm saying if you put Milan in that quick step with just Bert.
Philipsen. If they're in their respective teams, I think Philipsen is more likely to win Tour de France stages than Merlier for me. Because I trust his lead out significantly more.
Yes. Alpecin's lead out in the Tour is always good. I don't know if Van der Poel's doing it. I mean, if you have Van der Poel as last man, it's pretty good.
But for the listeners in the YouTube comments, I want to see all your top 3 sprinters in the world. In those comments, I want to see what you think about it. After this stage, we'll see if you still agree with your own opinion at the end of the Giro.
Milan must have the best 20-second power in the world, in World Tour.
Yeah.
Or maybe
except
someone...
Aramburu, come on.
If he does, then I don't know where he's been using it.
In the sense.
Yeah. KOM... Calmejon wears it tomorrow. Poggi's leading it, but Calmejon leapfrogs Martinez, as Benji said. Oosterbrugge still leading the white jersey, and Ineos are now in the team's classification lead. Tomorrow's stage. Let me look it up. Genoa to Lucca. So we're going south now, I think. Yes, we are. I know my Italian coast. So should be a pretty stage, but it's hilly. 180 kilometers. And now we are talking. We have 5 hills to start the stage.
Yes.
All uncategorized, but 2 of them are decent. One's 3.7 Ks at 7%. They're 3 hills in the first 14 Ks. Then the Madonna delle Grazie, 4 Ks, 4%. Short valley of 8 or 9 Ks before the Passo del Braco, which is 15 kilometers, 4%. That's all in the first hour and a half. And then it's even another climb in that descent. Then a long valley of 80 kilometers before an inconsequential climb, 3 Ks, 4.3%, the Monte Magno, before a false flat downhill run into the line in Lucca, not on the coast, actually inland. There's some intermediate sprints in the long valley section. If someone like, let's take Jayco, Benji.
Yeah.
You in what, 11th and 12th? You got to put DeMarkey in the break tomorrow. Sorry.
I think so as well. I think tomorrow is that kind of stage with that harder start, harder to control for sprint teams. Like, for example, Quickstep, they're going to burn through riders trying to control the breakaway formation if it's not just pro teams going for it. Because, like, even Alpecin, I would hedge my bets by going both for Groves and including someone in the breakaway, Hermans or something.
Groves is the one where, if I'm Alpecin, I would do Paso del Braco, like, full gas.
You would do it from the peloton, then?
Yeah, absolutely full gas, Paso del Braco. But then you have to keep 80K valley.
Brother, it's an 80K valley. There's no way. It's a 4% climb again.
Yeah, but Milan will make it, too.
Yeah, Milan will make it. Jakobsen will drop, but who else will drop?
Mollier.
He's going to come back. It's 80-kilometer valley. The entire Quickstep team's going to wait. I don't see that. Trek, I think it's a breakaway hedge.
If you're Trek in Milan and Mollier is dropped by 1 minute, would you not pull full gas in that valley? I would.
Did they do today? I don't remember. Yeah, but it was at the front a little bit. I don't remember if it was when...
But he wasn't a minute back, like.
No. But you've got a valid point that little Trek would do it, but...
If I'm Visma, I would pace.
Yeah, that's for sure. Trotnik at the front again.
Because they're the three, and now, yeah, Binny is another one they would if Merle was dropped, but...
But Calmajon needs a KOM point, so he's going to be in the
break. Yeah. Binny's out now.
Israel Premier Tech, go in breakaway together with Evan Vernon for the sprint, and eventually that's the hedge bet again. Those type of teams would definitely have to go for
both. Visma go on the break with Tim van Dijk?
Well, you literally just said that...
Yeah, but I mean, in the situation where you're not in the break and Merle's dropped, then you would pace, you'd put a guy, but what chance do you see of Coy beating Merle and Milan in the finish tomorrow?
What the chance do you see of Groves beating Milan at the finish line?
Yeah, but they're going not that high.
So
yeah, but with Groves, you can do that climb really, really fast. He's the best climbing sprinter.
Yeah, but do they have the team for that? They've got a lead-out team with Quinten Hermans who can climb properly.
Conchi Bayer, yeah, I think. And Hermans, yeah, they can put. But then Kierlich might drop.
Conchi's also 15th in GC. Are they going to risk using him for that?
Come on, yeah. Wait, 15th? Where did he come on Europa?
16th.
That's not bad.
It was a really good performance by Conchi.
On 120. Ahead of Pozzo and Plav. That's pretty good. I think a lot of teams should go. I think if you're not Trek and you're not Quickstep, I would go on the break. Because in my opinion, I agree with Benji, to be honest. Groves, maybe a different story. Because I really think he can climb so well. And it is a long climb, 15 Ks, but it's not that steep. But yeah, if you're Astana, Max Cancer and Ballerini. Not, I would rather put Scaroni over. This is a Velasco in the breakaway. If you're Bora Hansgrohe, Gamper in the breakaway. And
they might use that rider to keep Lipovic and Martinez safe, though. That's the one team where I'm like, they might consider the safety of their riders more important than going in the breakaway on the stage. Because GC is more important than...
I guess. What about DSM? Free Julius Vandenberg.
You might as well put Jakobsen in the break, because if you go over the climb, you might be back in the peloton.
Stop him, OTL, yeah. Trentin, break. Danese wasn't that good today. But I think Bahrain might be confident Bauhaus can win. But I think, Like, is Coy going to... Do you see Coy beating Maliro Milan straight up?
There's so many little things that can happen in a sprint that a situation like that could occur, but on paper, no.
Yeah, I think Tratnik and Tim van Dijk and Walter should jump because... Yeah, but just because if Jayco start doing with Demarchi, if Alaphilippe is there, or I don't know, if Intermarché are going with riders, EF will be going with Honoré, Decathlon maybe with a PP brother, Aldani, Scaroni, Ineos, Narvaez.
That's possible.
Why wouldn't he go on the break? Or Ganna.
You can afford it.
If I was Ganna, I'd go on the break.
He did it today.
Yep.
And tomorrow's more likely tomorrow's to be
much
a,
more likely, yeah.
Much more likely to be a harder to control breakaway than today. So if you do it today, you might as well do it tomorrow.
It wouldn't cost you. Yep. So
what's the stage afterward? It is a gravel stage, gravel if I recall, stage, though. Yeah. So that's a high effort stage potentially. It's either breakaway gravel stage with nothing happening in the peloton initially, with like a 10-minute gap like the Betiol ones back in the day.
Yeah.
Where it's like UAE wants to set the record straight and wants to go ham. It's another option, but they might want to save something for then. But then again, Ghana in the break, I don't see a problem with that.
All right, who you got?
I'm going with, after today, I have to go for Milan again. After yesterday, he was strong, but he didn't win. But I see Milan happening.
I'm going for Milan again. I said everything about...
If you do that, I'll go earlier.
Okay, well, I said everything about the breakaway, but in reality, I don't think it'll go. And I think Milan will get...
If it's breakaway, the victor is going to be...
Oh, if it's breakaway, Simone Velasco. Actually, he's still kind of bad.
Marco Frigo, I don't know, man.
Nah, flat finish. I want someone who's got a little bit of kick about him.
Schultz?
Pithy should go on the break, honestly. Pithy can't win from the big group sprint. He can't.
You got to try different
shit. He's too small. He's got to go on the break. Him or Askey.
I'm okay with that.
Anyway,
Milan, Merlier, whatever, whoever you pick.
Yeah. It'll be a sprint anyway. Yeah. Pithy from the break. Make it happen. That's all I think, Benji. Yeah, there was no Tour de Hungary starts tomorrow. Mark Hirsch, he'll be the big favorite. He won GC last year, I think.
Yeah. Buchmann's there, right?
Is he?
Buchmann as leader for Tour Hansgrohe, who's going to be able to show its watts.
And Welsford. The two Giro guys.
The Giro rejects.
Yeah, Jesus. Groenewegen as well. He's back for, I think, the third year in a row, tuning up. Interesting to see Andrew August.
Frank van den Broek.
Yep. He just came off the Tour of Turkey GC win. While Pools, it's all the Giro guys who got...
Yeah. They're like, you won't be able to go to the Giro, but we've got this amazing race in Hungary that you can go to instead. It's a Tour to Hungary. Like, sorry, but it's a shame.
And they got the Kekko Stedtor climb back. I think Valter won GC when he was on CCC there. And Simmons has done well there. It's 12Ks, 5.6%. Sort of a 30-minute. Oh, it's not really. It's kind of a...
Who wins GC?
It's going to be Pools against Hirschi, I think.
And Buchmann?
Ulysses there.
Buchmann's got to show off what he has now. He can't just talk shit and climb his nearby KOM and then don't perform in the Tour of Hungary. I need to see him win the shit.
Cavendish here, but yeah, Buchmann's got to win. So it's quite interesting, actually. It is quite interesting to see how some of these leadouts will go. And like Cav's preparing for the Tour. He's here with his proper Tour de France leadout, Bol, Merku, and Syriza.
Yeah.
Same with Groenewegen. And but I think Wout Poels wins GC, Benji.
It's possible.
Actually, no. How motivated is Wout Poels to turn up to a dot pro? Like she's been preparing for this all year. He lives for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any other news? I don't think so. Jonas Vingegaard.
Yeah. He's back on the bike.
kind of buried the lead. Instagram posted today from Team Visma Elisa Bike that he's back on the bike outdoors. Says, with the goal of getting ready for the Tour, but he said he didn't know if he will be ready or not or how it will go. Still things up in the air, but certainly, like, I think from 2 weeks ago, Benji, or when he was in, there was no news for a while. I think now on 7 May, 8 weeks, 7 weeks more or less before the Tour, maybe that's better expectation than people would have thought that he's riding outside already.
Yeah, I don't remember when Pogacar last year was back on the bike. I think it was around the same period, but then again, he had a hand injury.
But he was on the trainer very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember him posting. Remember there was a video on Instagram, him like running up the hills in Monaco?
I think he went outside halfway May again, which he was training already, but I think 7 weeks is good enough. Well, I'm not a doctor, but I think 7 weeks is good enough to be at a raise at a decent enough level to consider yourself. But we hope it. We want to see people return to form before the races they want to peak at. But I forgot to tell you about Hungary. Did we talk about Sagan being back?
Oh yeah, he's on
in the Pierre Baguette team.
Pierre Baguette team,
not a French team,
Slovak team.
Yeah, his brother Juraj is DS there.
Okay.
I got an invite once to ride with Juraj Sagan, so I might actually take them up on that at some point in my life.
Really? Yeah. In Slovakia?
Yeah, a bit far.
Yeah.
Next door. I'll take the car.
Yeah, it's not that far. But yeah, good to see. Maybe we are going to have that battle of the big four, Remco, Roglic, Pogacar, and Vingegaard. Fingers crossed. It's still 7 weeks to go. But, you know, things after Basque Country were looking a bit dire for the season, but this Giro is already over-delivering, frankly, in terms of excitement. It's been fantastic. And then if we have those four of the tour, even in 90% of their best shape, it's still going to be an all-out battle. Like last year, Pogacar at this time, he crashed in Liège, and then we had a fantastic 2 weeks or so of the tour. So hopefully all goes well for all of them. Remco's recovering, and Roglic's recovering, and Vingegaard's recovering, and Pogacar will also during the Giro, which he'll have to recover from. So, but still looking better than maybe a month ago. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you with a recap of Stage 5 tomorrow. Ciao.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.